So it's been a while since I preached from this pulpit, 2 years to be exact, and I thank God for bringing me back here. It's always a pleasure for me to be able to exhort from the Word of God, and that pleasure doubles especially when I'm preaching in my own home church. Now, before I go on, can I just request a raise of hands, please, so that I may know whom I'll be preaching to this morning? How many of you here have been with Living Word IT Park since 2013? Since 2013. Okay, more than 50% came after 2013. Now, today is our last installment of our series, Encounters with Jesus. And as we do that, I will be sharing my own personal encounter with the Lord. I will be sharing my testimony on how I encountered the Lord when I went through a very difficult time in my life some 4 years ago. And as I share my testimony, I will also talk a little about suffering, for the reason that it was taught to us by the Word of God. Now, in Psalm 34, verse 19, the Bible clearly tells us that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from all. And in John chapter 16, verse 33, the Lord Jesus himself said that in this world, we will have trouble. So you see, friends, storms in life, afflictions in life, troubles and challenges in life, whether we like them or not, they are all part of our existence. And my goal this morning is to simply testify that God is good and God is sovereign even during stormy times in life. So if you have your Bibles with you, please turn them with me to Luke chapter 8, and we'll be reading verse 22 to 25. Luke chapter 8, verse 22 to 25 says here, "One day Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side of the lake.' So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him saying, 'Master, Master, we are going to drown.' He got up, rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. 'Where is your faith?' he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, 'Who is this? He commands and even the winds and the water, they obey him.'" Let's come before the Lord in prayer, church. Indeed, Father God, this is the day, Lord, that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad, O God. Lord, we humbly ask, Lord, that you'll be the one to minister to each and every heart. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you just give us a visit this morning, Lord. Let this morning be special, Lord God. We pray, Lord, that you'll be the one to add anointing and authority, Lord, to the word that will be preached this morning. And Lord, I humble myself before you. Hide me behind the cross. Anoint my lips of clay. We pray, O God, that you just allow your word to come with power, O Lord. So we worship you, we thank you, we commit this time into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So our story goes that Jesus asked his disciples to journey with him going to the other side of the lake. And all of a sudden, as they set off, a squall or a storm have hit them. A great storm hit them, and all of a sudden, all of them were fighting for their lives. They were in great danger. Now, friends, here in verse 22, the Bible tells us that it was Jesus who asked his disciples to journey with him going to the other side of the lake. It was Jesus who invited his disciples to board that same boat with him to cross the lake. And as they crossed the lake, they face a great storm. Now, the reason why I'm pointing this out is because I want to remind all of you that as Christians, no matter how close or intimate we are with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's never a guarantee that we will live stormless lives. It's never a guarantee that we will live trouble-free lives. But on the contrary, if you look at our passage, it was Jesus who asked his disciples to journey with him on that lake. It was Jesus who invited his disciples to come board with him on that boat and journey to the other side of the lake. So the question is, does Jesus know that there was a storm coming or not? Well, of course, he does. And friends, let me just say this. God at times is the one allowing us and leading us to go through difficult moments. God at times is the one leading us to go through difficult times in life. Now, turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, it says here, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." Now, this verse tells us that Jesus himself, the Son of God himself was led by the Holy Spirit, was led by God into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, friends, the word tempted here in the original Greek manuscript is the word pyrosmos. And pyrosmos doesn't just connote being tempted to do an evil thing, but pyrosmos literally means to be tried and tested in every way. Now, this verse tells us that Jesus was led by the Spirit to be tested. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And friends, how many of you know that wilderness in the Bible often signifies difficult and trying times? Wilderness in itself is a picture of a dry and lonely land with a scorching heat. Now, oftentimes, wilderness in the Bible is a place of complaint, is a place of agony, and is a place of depression. Now, Moses roamed around the wilderness for 40 years, day and night, listening to the complaints of the Israelites. Every morning, he listens to the complaints. At nighttime, he listens to their accusation. It could have been a very frustrating time for Moses in the wilderness. Now, David, while he was running for his life from King Saul, he was hiding in agony in the wilderness. He was enduring the hotness of the day, the coldness of the night, very much afraid for his life. It was a scary time for David in the wilderness. And the same with Elijah. While he was running away from Queen Jezebel, he was hiding in the wilderness, very depressed, even to the point of having suicidal tendencies. Again, wilderness experience signifies tough and trying times. But yet, the Bible tells us that Jesus, the Son of God, was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tested. So the question right now is why? I mean, why does God lead his Son to go through a wilderness experience? Why does God allow his people to suffer? Or why do bad things happen to Christians? Now, friends, the moment we go through wilderness experience, the moment we go through difficult times, it is very normal to ask questions. It is very normal to ask questions. But before that, let me just reassure you once again that the God whom we serve is our loving Father. And he doesn't delight in the misery of his people. If you read your Bibles from Genesis to Revelation, you will never find a single passage or a single verse that says God delights in the misery of his people. On the contrary, he delights in the joy, in the prosperity of his people. I mean, God doesn't sit on his throne and he calls the angel, "Angel, come here, come here. You see, right now, I'm going to give problems to Pastor TJ. See, Pastor TJ is suffering right now." He doesn't sit on his throne and laughs at our misery. But church, God is our loving Father. And he's not in the business of tearing down lives. But on the contrary, he's in the business of building up lives, building up mighty men and women for his kingdom. And the fact is, it's because he's very serious with your life and he loves you so much, he refuses to leave you the way you are. Now, what do I mean by that? Before Jesus went on to become the Savior of the world, God first tested the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness. Before David became the great king of Israel, the Lord groomed and prepared David in the wilderness. Now, Moses experienced the great power and miracles of God while he was in the wilderness. Abraham learned the will of God while he was in the wilderness. Elijah experienced the comfort of God while he was in the wilderness. And the point is this, church. God leads us and allows us to go through wilderness experience, and it's not meant to destroy us. Every time we go through wilderness experience, he always has a constructive purpose for us the moment we go through wilderness experience. So friends, if you're going through difficult times right now, always remember it's not meant to destroy you. It's meant to bring you closer to God. Whatever trials you go through, maybe whatever difficulties you're going through right now, always remember that it's not meant to destroy you, but God has a constructive purpose for that. Maybe like David, the Lord is preparing you for something in the future for the ministry. Or maybe like Jonah, while Jonah was being disciplined by God, he was suffering inside the belly of the fish. Maybe you're going through difficult times right now. It's maybe because God wants your attention. God is disciplining you over something. Or maybe like Jacob, you are having a difficult time right now because Jacob was always wrestling with God. And maybe God just wants your attention. And again, my point is this, whatever trials we will go through in life is never meant to destroy us, but to build us up for the glory of His name. Now, let's go back to our passage here in verse 23. It says here, as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. Now, church, here in verse 23, the Bible tells us that the kind of storm that hit them was a squall. Now, everybody say squall. Say it louder, squall. Now, I checked Merriam-Webster Dictionary, what's the meaning of the squall? And Merriam-Webster Dictionary gives us this definition. A squall is a sudden violent wind, often with rain or snow. So a squall is a sudden violent wind. Now, remember, majority of Jesus' disciples were professional fishermen. Now, being professional fishermen, that means they were professional sailors. Just by looking at the clouds or feeling the moist of the air, they could have easily determined if there was a storm coming or not. But yet, here in verse 23, all of them were caught off guard. All of them never expected that a storm would hit them. Now, friends, of all the storms in life, of all the types of wilderness experience, these types of trials are the most difficult to handle. Storms that come out from nowhere. Situations that you don't expect to happen, but yet they happen anyway. Maybe one phone call you answer, and that phone call informs you that your loved one just met an accident and has passed away. Maybe one visit to the doctor, and the doctor tells you you have a terminal illness. Maybe one wrong decision in your business or one wrong decision in your career and everything is turned upside down. Again, one of the most difficult storms to handle in life is these types of storms. Storms that you don't expect to happen, but yet they happen. Now friends, some 4 years ago, my wife and I, we were very excited to go on a family vacation. Months before summertime, months before that, we've booked our plane tickets together with our church friends, with some leaders of the church. We booked our hotel in Boracay. And during that time, we were very much looking forward for summer vacation because we're going to go on a family trip together with our church friends. And you know what? During that time, everything was picture perfect. Everything was beautiful. So we were so excited. We were talking about it. We were very much looking forward to it. So came summer vacation, and everything was nice because it was late March, early April, and it's usually a time where we will have our business inventory, and business was performing well, and my kids during that time graduated with honors, or I mean they passed with honors, and it was a picture-perfect situation for me and my family. We were enjoying. But you know what? 2 weeks before we were scheduled to go on our vacation, 2 weeks before we were scheduled to leave, it was that particular Sunday service where Pastor Nick during that time was preaching about rejoicing in the midst of trial, praising God in the midst of trial. And Dr. Alex is here. After the service, strangely, just like right now, Dr. Alex was seated in front and I was seated all the way at the sound booth. He walked to me and said, "Joe, go have an ultrasound." No, without any reason, he just approached me. Usually, we just shake hands, we smile at each other. But that time, he came to me and he said, "Joe, go have an ultrasound." So immediately, the following day, I went for a checkup. And I had my ultrasound. And when I had my ultrasound, the sonographer, the one who does the ultrasound, found a growing lump on my right kidney. Now, at first, it didn't bother me at all because I felt perfectly good. I have no symptoms. In fact, I was biking from from JY Square to Busay almost every day. I felt like an Iron Man. I felt perfectly healthy. And in fact, just days before that, I just had my yearly checkup, my executive panel. Except for borderline cholesterol, everything was okay. I felt perfectly fine. But when I brought my ultrasound result to Dr. Alex, he immediately ordered me to have a CT scan. He said, "We don't want to wait for long. My advice to you is go have a CT scan." So that's what I did. I had my CT scan. And when I had my CT scan, that's where everything started to turn upside down. That's where everything started to turn upside down. When I brought my CT scan result to Dr. Alex, when he looked at it, I think he was also quite hesitant to tell me that I have to take it from his mouth. He said, "Joe, what I'm seeing here is not good, and we have to find out immediately." So I pursued him and asked him, "What is it, Doc? Is it cancer?" He said, "There's a probability." "What probability?" He said, "Just go to this other doctor that I'm referring you. A high probability, if not mistaken, that's what Dr. Alex said." So on the way to the specialist, on the way to the second doctor, because we went there immediately that afternoon, I was really hoping and asking, I hope Dr. Alex was wrong. So I hope the high probability will, the next doctor would say it was just a low possibility of being malignant or being cancer. But know what? When I went to that second doctor, the moment he saw my CT scan result, he told me 90%, "Let me tell you, this is cancer. 90%, let me tell you, this is malignant. And let's remove it immediately. Let's take it out immediately." Now, friends, just like that, I was a cancer patient. Just like that, I was a cancer patient. Now, it was so hard to believe at first. It was so hard to believe at first. Because just a few days before that, I was doing business left and right. I was doing business left and right, and I was biking from JY Square to Busay almost every day. I had no symptoms. I felt perfectly, perfectly healthy. But you know what? Just like that, I was in the middle of the storm. Storm that I did not expect to come. Storm I did not expect to happen. But yet, it happened. Now, just before my visit to Dr. Alex's clinic, I had so many plans the following day. I had so many plans for the following week. But at that moment, my plans crumbled. I needed to change my plan. Okay? So, just like that, I was in the middle of the storm. Storm that came out from nowhere. Now, let's move on, verse 24. Going back to our Bibles, it says here, "The disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Master, Master, we're going to drown.'" Now, in other translation, it says there, "Lord, Lord, don't you care if we're going to drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided, and all was calm. Now, we can see here in verse 24 that the disciples, when they encountered that storm, all of them were scared stiff. All of them were very, very much afraid. Now, guys, you should understand that just a few chapters before this incident, just a few days before they went through this storm, the scared disciples were the same disciples who witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ perform many miracles. I mean, they saw how the Lord Jesus healed a leper. They saw how the Lord Jesus miraculously healed a centurion servant. And they even witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ raise someone from the dead. In other words, these disciples knew who Jesus was. They know what Jesus can do. But yet, when they went through this storm, all of them were scared stiff. All of them were panicking. They knew who Jesus was, but you know what? Their faith was literally shaken to the grounds. Now, church, over the years of being in the ministry, from hindsight, you know what I found out? It's so easy to believe a miracle for others. It's so easy to claim a miracle for other people. It's so easy to pray for a miracle for other people. But you know what? The moment you're the one that's needing a miracle, it's so hard to believe. And what I'm saying is, the moment we go through storms in life, your faith will really be shaken. Your trust and confidence in God's promises will really be tested. And the moment we go through storms, there will be so many questions that can fly into our mind. And like the disciples, when I learned that I had cancer, I was very, very, very scared. When my doctor told me that I have cancer, I was very, very much afraid. Now, friends, let me just say this. I was never afraid to die. Because I know with all my heart that if I die early, I will go to the Lord earlier. You know what? I was mainly afraid for two things. I was scared for two things. Now, number one, I was scared for my family. Because during that time, my son was just 4 years old and my daughter was just 6 years old, and both of them are so attached to me. I mean, during that time, my son considers me as his best friend. And at that time, my daughter thinks that I can solve all the problem in the world. And my little kids, they're so attached to me. And more attached to me was my wife. So I was so scared for them. I still had a very young family at that time. So I was thinking, what would happen to them if the Lord would call me home early? And secondly, I was afraid. I was scared to go through a procedure. Oh, it's strange because since I was a little child, hadlok yung keko opirahan. I really have a very horrific thinking, a very terrifying picture of going through a procedure. So at an early age, I feared, I was really hoping that throughout my life, I would go through life without being operated on or without being going through procedure. So I was scared mainly for those two things. Now, during the time when I learned that I had cancer, I was so confused. I was so depressed. I couldn't even think well. I couldn't even function properly. Now, there were times at night, I would wake up in the middle of the night, or I would wake up at 2 a.m., 3 a.m. during that time, our children were still sleeping with us. There were times that I would just look at my daughter, and look at my daughter, and I think to myself, will I still be around? Will I still be able to walk my daughter down the aisle someday? I look at my son, he was still so young during that time. I was thinking, will I still be around to teach my son to play basketball? And I look at my wife, she's so beautiful. I was thinking, kung mamatay ko, daghana gyud mag-ilog ani oy. So depressing thought began to haunt me. I was so anxious, I was so down, I was so depressed. But church, most of all, I was so confused. I was so confused. Now guys, when I went through that storm in life, when I went through that wilderness experience, there were three things that really brought so much comfort to me. When I was down, when I was depressed, when I was confused, three things that the Lord used that brought so much comfort to me. And number one was the comfort of my fellow believers, the comfort of fellow Christians. Now, when the church knew, when the church learned of my situation, the text was overwhelming. The prayer support was overwhelming. Now, I even received one text that says, Joe, take heart. There are so many people praying for you from around the world, people whom you don't even know. And that gave me so much comfort. Now, every time a pastor or a brother and sister in the Lord visits me and lays hand on me, I can sense the love of God flowing through them. I can sense the comfort of God flowing through them. Now, you see, church, you should understand that I am both active in church. I also am both active in the society or community. So I have church friends, and I also have quote-unquote secular friends. Now, when my friends outside the church knew that I had cancer, they also tried to comfort me. They gave me comforting words. But you know what? Somehow, the comfort of fellow Christians brought in so much authority, as if the Lord was channeling His love through my fellow believers. So one of the things that the Lord used greatly to comfort me was the comfort of the brothers and sisters. That's why, church, I encourage you to be in a circle of Christian friends. Be part of our MD groups. Have a circle of friends whom you will be accountable to, whom could pray for you. Because you know what? You'll never know when you will need their comfort. And the way I looking from hindsight, I came to realize that God at times expresses His love through your fellow believers. God at times uses your brothers and sisters as His hands and His feet. So I encourage you highly, church, as the Apostle Paul encourages in Hebrews 10:12, to not 10:25, do not stop meeting with each other, fellowshipping with each other. No, let's encourage one another. So I highly encourage you to be part of a small group, to be part of an MD group, to have Christian friends, to have close Christian friends. So number one, God used my fellow brethren to comfort me. I also remembered the night on the eve before my operation. You know, sometimes God has a sense of humor. My friends visited me during that night and they were bringing in pizza, they were bringing in drinks, as if they were celebrating, as if we were feasting in my room. And there was no hint of sadness or aura of depression at all. So Again, God used the fellow brethren to give so much comfort to me. And secondly, God comforted me through the power of His Word. The power of God's Word. Now, for the first time in my life, I've experienced as if the Bible was directly talking to me. For the first time in my life, as if I was experiencing the passages and the verses in the Bible would just jump out from its pages and minister directly into my heart. As if I was having a conversation with the Bible. Now again, storms in life can bring in so many questions. And more often than not, it's the uncertainty of the situation, it's those unanswered questions that would bring in so much fear and anxiety. But you know what, church? The Word of God is very powerful. It is the living Word. And God answered all my questions point blank from the Scriptures. Point blank. All the questions I've asked, God answered them all through His Word. Now, one of my major questions during that time was, Lord, why? Why? With a capital W-H-Y. Lord, why? You see, church, I always pray to God. Every time I come before the Lord in my devotions, I always ask the Lord, Lord, please protect me from cancer. I'm very specific. Now, you should understand that I have a very bad gene. My auntie died of cancer. My uncle died of cancer. My grandmother died of cancer. So it's in our genes. So what I'm saying is that every time, for many years, every time I come before the Lord in my quiet time, in my devotional time, I always plead before God, God, please protect me from cancer. Lord, please keep me safe from cancer. Please do not ever allow this to happen to me. But yet, it happened anyway. That happened April 2013. And just a few months before that, December 2012, I committed myself to serve as an associate pastor in our church. So I have a very big question. Lord, why are you allowing this thing to happen? Lord, why? How many of you believe with me that Jesus is alive and He's alive forevermore? Amen? And how many of you believe with me that Jesus speaks to His people? The Bible tells us, my sheep hears my voice and my sheep recognizes my voice. So when I had those many questions, the Lord answered my question through His Word. Now, I was asking the Lord, Lord, why? Why are you allowing this thing to happen? Then the Lord brought me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul's thorn in the flesh. We know the story, right? Three times, repeatedly, Paul asked the Lord, Lord, please take this thorn of the flesh away from me. But the Lord did not take it, and the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. Anyway, while I was asking the Lord why, the Lord brought me to this passage. That He spoke to me through His Word. He said, Job, yes, you prayed. Paul also prayed that I may take away his thorn in the flesh. But did I take it away? And I said, Lord, no, Lord. How many times did Paul ask me to take it away? Many times, Lord, repeatedly. Paul asked you, then God asked me again, did I take it away? I said, no, Lord. Then the Lord asked me, what did I say to Paul? That He brought me to that very, very wonderful verse. My grace is sufficient for you, and my power will be made known in your weaknesses. And then the Lord just imparted to my heart. He said, Joe, didn't you know that Paul experienced my grace and power as he has never experienced it before because of that thorn in his flesh? And he goes on to say, so will it be with you. You will experience my grace and you will experience my power as you have never experienced me before. And true enough, church, during that time of difficulty, during that very difficult moment in my life, I have experienced the grace of God as I have never experienced Him before. I have experienced the power of God's Word as I have never experienced it before. And that brought so much comfort to me. Now, another one of my questions during that time was, Lord, why? The Lord answered that. And I asked Him another question, Lord, why now? Of all the time, Lord, why now? Didn't you know, Lord, I was supposed to leave for Boracay? Lord, we're not going to party in Boracay. I'm going to go there with Christian friends, Lord. Lord, perfect timing. Why now? Why now? Again, guys, we were so excited to leave on this family trip. We were looking forward to it for months. And the problem was, Doctor, Tenasa said, Joe, I don't want to waste time on this. I want to perform the procedure immediately. Because according to him, the sooner, the better. And I told him, Doc, what about after we leave for Boracay and Landlong? We'll do the procedure. He said, I'll also be going out of the country. So I had no choice. So I asked the Lord, Lord, why? Why now, Lord? Didn't you know I was so excited? And this time, the Lord brought me to Luke chapter 1. This time, the Lord brought me to Luke chapter 1. This was the time when the angel visited Mary. We know the story, right? Mary was engaged to Joseph. He was about to be married to Joseph. She was about to have her dream wedding. And all of a sudden, God interrupts her plan. Lo and behold, Mary, you are pregnant. And her plan has to change. Now, Jesus, the Lord, just brought me into this passage. And he just began to impart in my heart. Joe, you're asking so many questions. But didn't you know that Mary was also very excited for her dream wedding? But she surrendered her will for my will. She gave up her plan in exchange for my will. She gave up her dream wedding in exchange for my cause. And Joe, because she said yes to my assignment, because she surrendered her will for my will, many were blessed and my name was glorified. Now, when I went through that, when the Lord imparted those sweet words to my heart, immediately right then and there, I came to realize and accept that this is God's will for me. I know I came to accept and embrace the fact, yes, Lord, this is your will for me. So, amazingly, when I received that impartation from the Lord, I actually began to thank the Lord that I had cancer. Because during those times, my fellowship with the Lord was just so sweet. And I've experienced Him as I have never experienced Him before. And so I said, Lord, while I was praying, Lord, thank you that you're allowing me to go through this. Thank you, Lord, that this is your will for my life. I don't know what holds the future, but this is your will for me, Lord, so I'll do it, Lord. Now, during that time, the Lord clearly imparted to my heart that because she exchanged her will for my will, people were blessed and my name was glorified. Now, church, during that time, I didn't understand it fully yet because I was in the midst of the storm during that time. But you know what? From hindsight, right now, 4 years after, I have delivered the same testimony to many congregations already. And you know what? Through this testimony, I've heard of feedbacks that people gave their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ after hearing this testimony. People decided to be baptized after hearing this testimony. So again, when I exchanged my will for His will, people were blessed. But during that time, I didn't understand it yet. But what I understood at that time was this was God's will for my life. So I came to realize that my life, after all, is not about me. And the truth is this, church, your life is not about you. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you claim to be a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, your life is not about you. Your life is a canvas for His glory. So during that time, a day before I was admitted into the hospital, I had no more questions. The Lord answered all my questions point blank from His word. But yet, I was still afraid. I was still scared. But God is very gracious, church. I remember during that time, I was in our living room during that time. I was very depressed. I was scared, confused. And this time, the Lord brought me to Luke chapter 22, verses 42 to 44. And the amazing thing is this, guys. This is not a very popular verse, right? It's not like John 3:16. It's not just like John 14:6. But the Lord somehow brought me to this verse. This was the time while Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, while He was about to be crucified, while He was sweating. His sweat became like blood because He was scared. Now, during this time, it says here in Luke chapter 42, it says here, Father, this was the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. And look at verse 43, church. It says here, and an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And when the Lord brought me to this passage, the Lord ministered to me. He said to me, Son, do you know what this passage means? He said, the moment you say yes to my will in times of trial, the moment you say yes to my will, even if it's difficult, heaven's provision will break open and the supernatural power, the supernatural intervention of heaven will be manifested in the physical realm. That's what the Lord imparted to me. When Jesus prayed in the physical, all of a sudden, an angel, something supernatural happened. And the Lord was very clear to me. He said, the moment you say yes to my will in times of trouble, heaven will break open and the supernatural works of heaven will be manifested in your life. So when I received that impartation from the Lord, I immediately went to my daughter's room and locked myself there. And I was so filled with the presence of God. And I began to pray. And I just was praising Him. I was just thanking Him. I was saying to God, Lord, thank you for this experience, Lord. Even though it's a difficult time, even though this is a difficult moment, I thank you, Lord, for your presence. Your presence was so sweet. And I was praying, Lord, I know this is your will for my life. And I am willing, Lord God, to do this for you. Then I prayed to God. I will never forget this prayer. I said, during the time the bed was here, and the door was beside me on the left side. I was kneeling. I was praying. I said, Lord, as you let me go through this storm, there's only one thing I ask, Lord. Lord, I want your supernatural intervention. Lord, I want you to cover me with your peace. And I asked the Lord, Lord, because this is your will, Lord, please, please just give me your supernatural intervention. And I asked the Lord, the moment I step out of that door, Lord, please cover me with your peace. And church, you know what? After my prayer, when I opened the door, when I stepped out of my daughter's room, the peace of God just covered me from the deepest, most portion of my heart, from the top of my head down to the bottom sole of my feet. I was just covered with the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, something that I will never be able to express to you through human words. The peace was amazing. You know how amazing it was? For the past days, I was having a Viernes Santo face. No? Ever since my doctor told me I have cancer, I was having a Viernes Santo face. It was so hard for me to smile even. But at that time, when I stepped out of my daughter's room, joy filled me. Peace covered me. And the very first thing I did was I got my cell phone and called Pastor Mel. And told him, Brother Mel, you just won't believe what happened. Blah, 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 blah. And I was smiling all throughout. And the strange thing was this, church, that was the day when I'm supposed to get my admission slip for the hospital because the following day I would already be admitted. So when I went to the hospital to see my doctor, literally I was smiling all throughout. I was smiling in the hospital lobby. I was smiling when I got my admission slip from my doctor. So I went to the fifth floor to meet with my doctor. When I came down, when I was in the lobby, I met a friend. And he was also having a Viernes Santo face. So we exchanged hi, hello. So I asked him, why are you here? He said, I have a problem because my stool has so many blood and I'm afraid I have cancer. Then he asked me, why are you here? I told him, I'm going to have a procedure the following day. He asked me, why? And I was smiling. I said, because I have cancer. That's the peace of God, church. And he was confused. So right there, I had the opportunity to minister to him. In the middle of a busy hospital lobby, I was able to minister to him and pray for him. And something that I couldn't do if the Lord didn't allow me to go through that experience. So the Word of God brought so much comfort to me. The Word of God is powerful. Now you should understand that trusting God's Word did not happen to me overnight. And it will never happen to anyone that way. Now what I'm saying is I learned to trust God's Word over the years by meditating on it and applying it in my daily life. I learned to trust His Word by obeying and living out the simple commands of the Bible, living a holy life, trying to live a holy life, trying to discern what pleases God, bringing my tithes, loving others, sharing the gospel. I learned to trust God's Word by obeying it daily. And my point is this, faith and trusting God's Word is a thing that needs to be developed. It's a thing that needs to be exercised daily. If I had not followed the simple commands of His Word in my daily life, I doubt if I could have trusted the Word of God when I went through a very difficult time in my life. Now, church, I love what Edmund Chan said in the IDMC conference. He said, the Word of God is not our foundation. The Word of God applied is our foundation. The Word of God is not our foundation. The Word of God applied is our foundation. So church, as James said, don't merely be hearers of His Word, but be doers of it. Because if you only hear His Word and you don't do them, you are deceiving yourself. That's what the Word of God tells us. So number one, what God used to bring so much comfort to me, number one was the comfort of fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. Number two, the comfort of fellow believers. And number three, the very presence of God Himself. The very presence of God Himself that brought so much comfort to me. Now let's go back to our passage, verse 24 to 25. Let's read it. The disciples went and woke Him, saying, "Master, Master, we are going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" He asked His disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands, and even the winds and the water, they obey Him." Now, guys, the truth of the matter is this. All of us are in a journey. No one exempted. All of us are in a journey called life. Now, the big question is, in your journey of life, are you on the same boat with the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, when the disciples faced that great storm, yes, it was scary. Yes, they were shaken. It was a very scary thing for them. But the good thing is, they were on the same boat with the Lord Jesus Christ. They were in the very presence of God. When they faced that storm, when they faced that scary thing, it was a bad news, but the greater news was they were in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the question is, why were they in the same boat with the Lord Jesus Christ? Why were they in the presence of God? It's because they were working with Jesus. They were doing the works of His kingdom. Now, friends, I became a born-again Christian August of 1997. And I know with all my heart that during that day, I was saved. And I know with all my heart that it was a genuine born-again experience. But 1997, I can also honestly say, although I was saved, I was not on the same boat with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I attended Bible studies. Yes, I joined Sunday services. Yes, I even brought my tithe. But to me, that's all to it about Christianity. My relationship with the Lord was only expressed by going through the motion of attending Christian activities. But yet, deep inside me, I didn't have a heart for the kingdom. I didn't care for the lost. I didn't involve myself in the work of the ministry. And guys, I could honestly say, if I faced such storm during that period in my life, I am 100% sure that I would not have survived. I would have definitely gone crazy out of depression. Now, I was saved August of 1997. Yes, I was born again. But it was not until middle of 2007 that I finally surrendered my life and surrendered my everything to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was in 2007 that I finally said, "Lord, no more dancing with the world. No more doing worldly stuff. I am all out for You, Lord. I want to serve You, Lord." And it was only during that time when I got myself involved in the work of His kingdom that I began to understand what the sweet manifest presence of God is all about. And when I decided to fully follow Him, that's the time I began to have a heart for His kingdom. That's the time I began to have compassion for the lost. That's the time I just began to long for more and more of the Lord in my life. Now, I was saved August of 1997, but it was not until 2007 that I can honestly say that from that time on, my life was on the same boat with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because at that time, I was already involved in the work of His kingdom. Now, friends, how many of you realize that the promise of God's manifest presence has a premise with it? Now, there are so many Christians going through their Christian life never understanding what the manifest presence of God is all about. One time, there is this worship team member, and while I was discussing with him about the presence of God, he gave me a very blank stare, and he told me, "Unsa man ang presence sa Ginoo?" You know what? There are so many Christians who are going through a dry Christian life because they don't understand the presence of God. And why is that, church? Because the presence of God, the promise of His presence has a premise with it. The Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them everything I have commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you until the end of time. The promise has a premise. What is the premise of the promise? Is that you go and make disciples. You go and involve yourself in the work of His ministry, in the work of His kingdom. And it was not until I fully committed my life to follow Christ, that's where I began to enjoy and to learn what His manifest presence is all about. Now, when my situation reached my relatives, they were trying to comfort me. One dear auntie asked me, "Joe, how are you?" And I was able to answer her with confidence. I told her, "Auntie, I'm very okay. Because I know someone within me is giving me strength. Someone within me is holding me." And church, I will never, never forget this experience until the day I will be with the Lord. Now, during that time, I was very depressed. I was so confused. I was so down. I couldn't even work well. I couldn't think properly. Now, it was an afternoon. I was driving. I was somewhere there in Waterfront, and it's always traffic there, right? So I began to think of those depressing thoughts once again. I thought about my wife. I thought about my kids. Thought about my future. Then I just began to cry out of fear. Began to cry out of depression. I was crying in the traffic. And all of a sudden, as if someone came inside the car and sat with me. And there was so much peace. And I felt so loved. I felt so assured. Something that I will never be able to put into words. But I just felt the warmth of His love, the assurance of His presence. And right then and there, I knew I was in the presence of the King of Kings. I knew right then and there, I was in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. As if almost I could touch Him. But you know what? I was just crying, but I know He was almost physically there with me. I can almost hear His voice. But the love was just something out of this world. There was just so much peace. There was just so much assurance. There was just so much, I don't know how to say it, guys. And the Lord once again brought me to His words this time. And this time, He brought me to the passage where the man who was born blind. You know the story, right? While they were walking, His disciples saw a blind man. Then they asked the Lord Jesus Christ, "Lord, who have sinned? Was it his parents or him that he was born blind?" Then Jesus said, "Neither. This has happened to him so that the name of God might be glorified." The Lord brought me to that passage. Together with His sweet presence, the warmth of His love, the unexplainable peace that I have, the Lord brought me here. Then the Lord imparted to my heart and He said, "Joe, this has happened to you so that my name may be glorified. Are you willing to accept this?" And when I heard that, church, I cried all the more. And this time, there were not tears of fears, but tears of joy. Because I know and I know and I know with all my heart that that particular day, Jesus Himself was with me inside that car. His presence was so sweet. I wish all of you could experience it without the cancer. His love was just amazing that I will never be able to explain it through human words. And guys, all I can say is that no matter what you will go through in life, the moment God breaks in your life, your trouble would seem to become so insignificant. God loves us so much, church. God loves us so much. So the presence of God brought so much peace to me. And that was enough to assure me. Now let me just say this. I didn't learn being sensitive to His presence overnight. I learned it over the years by having my quiet time, my own devotional time, and I became sensitive to His presence over the years by seeking His will, by doing the work of the ministry. And I would just like to put emphasis to this, church. I've learned to appreciate, or I've learned to understand the manifest presence of God, especially during the times of our church prayer meeting. Now, some many years ago, I remember this, Pastor Nick assigned me to become the in charge for our church prayer meeting. Now, during that time, I was quite I was quite disappointed because during that time, the church was growing. But the attendance of our prayer meeting was dwindling. We used to gather 20 people to pray, but during that particular night, only 3 of us came together for prayer meeting. And I was very disheartened and I was very disappointed. I wanted to cancel the prayer meeting that night. It was only Glenn, myself, and Michelle. I wanted to call off the prayer meeting out of disappointment. But we proceeded anyway. You know what, guys? The moment we began to sing our songs, the presence of God just covered and filled the entire room. And that prayer meeting was so sweet. That prayer meeting was filled with the manifest presence of God. And I learned something that night. It doesn't matter who's with you, as long as the presence of God is with you. Amen? If God is for us, who can be against us? So that's where I learned to be sensitive to the presence of God. Now, church, in closing, the disciples were able to cross the other side of the lake without being harmed, yet it was scary, but Jesus was there to protect them. They were in the presence of God. Now, last April 29, I had my operation, I had my procedure, and praise God, the operation was successful, and the result was I had a grade 1, stage 1 renal cell carcinoma, clear cell type. It has been 4 years, and praise God, I'm still cancer-free. Please continue to pray for me. I'll be having my tests again next month. I hope, I am praying and hoping for another favorable result. And if I'm going to have another favorable result in 2018, I'm officially declared healed. So I went through the storm. I was able to go through the storm because, number one, God comforted me with the presence of my fellow believers, through the comfort of my fellow believers. God comforted me through the power of His Word, and God comforted me with His very presence. Now, church, some of you may be going through a difficult time right now. Let me leave you with this very wonderful promise of God. And I'd just like to call the worship team to come on stage right now and Link Ministry to be prepared. Church, if you're going through a difficult time, let me leave you with this verse. Isaiah 43, verse 1 to 3 says here, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Amen. Let's give the Lord a big clap, church. Let's pray. Just like requests for every heads to be bowed and every eyes closed, I believe that the Lord has somehow speak to some of you today. Maybe throughout the years, you know about the Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that He's the Son of God. You know He's God. You know He died for you at the cross. But yet, you have never come to a point yet where you have invited Him to come into your life. Maybe you have not surrendered your life yet to the Lord Jesus Christ. Church, remember this. 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus stepped out of His throne, came to this world. He was crucified at the cross to pay for the sins that you have committed. And He's offering that same forgiveness up to this day. Now, maybe throughout the years, you've been joining our services or you've heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, but you've never made a decision to surrender your life to Him or invite Him to come into your life. Church, I want to pray for you this morning. If that is your desire this morning, to invite the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life, if your desire this morning is to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I would like to pray for you. Just so I may know that I would be praying for someone, at the count of three, I would just like to request you to raise up your right hand. And you can put them down immediately. I would just like to know if I will be leading someone into prayer. I will not ask you to stand. I would just like you to raise your right hand. So again, this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ died for you at the cross so that He can have that very wonderful relationship with you. And He's ready to forgive you of all your sins. He's ready to receive you to Himself. So if that is your desire this morning, to surrender your life to Him, and invite Him as the Lord and Savior of your life, at the count of three, I would just like to request you to raise up your right hand. 1, 2, 3. Let's see. Keep them raised for a while. You may put them down. Just follow this very simple prayer with me this morning, church, and just pray it from all your heart, with all your heart. Remember that you're not just talking to anyone, you're talking to the King of Kings himself, the God who created you. So just follow this very simple prayer with me, church. And I'd just like to request the congregation to pray with those who will be praying this prayer for the first time, just to encourage them. So follow this very simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. Lord Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner. Lord Jesus, I know I will never be able to pay for my sins. Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me at the cross. Lord, today I invite you to come into my life. Today, I surrender my life to you. Today, Lord Jesus, I accept you as the Lord and Savior of my life. Please forgive me of all my sins. Make me a new creation. From now on, you are my God. And I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me pray for you guys. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for those who have decided, oh God, to surrender their lives to you this morning. Lord, we know with all our heart, oh God, that there is no sin greater than your love, oh Lord. There is no sin, Father God, that you cannot forgive, Lord. And you promise us in your word, Lord, that those who will come to you, Lord, you will never drive us away, oh God. So I want to thank you, Father, for those who have received you as the Lord and Savior of their life, Lord. I pray for them, Lord, that you would seal them with the Holy Spirit, dear God. Lord, I want to thank you for your forgiveness, oh God. Because, Lord, as high as the heavens are above the earth, Lord, so great is your love for us, Lord. As far as the east is from the west, Lord, so far have you taken away our sins from us, Lord. Though our sin, Lord God, be as crimson, we are white as snow. Lord, we thank you that there is no sin that you cannot forgive. You truly are our loving Savior and God. And we want to thank you, Lord, for those who have surrendered their life to you this morning. And Father, I also pray right now for brothers and sisters who may be going through difficult moments right now, Lord. You are our Prince of Peace, O God. You are the King of Kings. You are the God who goes before us, Lord. You are the God who knows the number of our hairs, O God. So Father, I pray right now for your comfort, Lord, for your supernatural intervention to break forth in their lives, O God. That, Lord, your name may be glorified, Lord, even as they go through the storm, Father God. We pray today, Lord, that your hand would lead them to and guide them through the storm, O God. That they will come out victorious, Lord, for the praise and glory of your name, O God. We worship you, Lord Jesus, and whatever has been done and accomplished this morning, we give you back all the praise, the worship, the glory, and the honor, Lord. In your most precious name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen and amen.